Because, again, we look at it, when I, in my humanness, look at it, I always have this picture that if I could have Jesus standing beside me, just like one of you, if He was standing beside me, and I could put my hand on His shoulder, I could ask Him questions, I could relate to Him, I could see Him, that would be awesome. That would be great. And that's what the disciples had. They had Jesus walking with them. They had Jesus living with them. They had Jesus talking with them. And in John chapter 16, verse 7, He says, "It is to your advantage that I leave, so that the Holy Spirit can come. Because if I don't, the Spirit can't come." What is He saying there? He is saying that you and I today are better off than what the disciples were with Jesus right beside them. Now that's pretty amazing, if you think about that. We as believers are actually better off because God lives within than what the disciples were with Jesus showing them, talking to them, touching them, living with them. And I want to challenge us as believers to see that seriously. Because our God wants to use us in greater ways than what Christ was doing on this earth. Now, Christ is our Savior. You and I will never be capable of delivering others from sin. But Jesus told His, when in John chapter 17, He prays for His disciples, and He goes on down through and He says, "Greater things than these, greater things than what I have done," and Jesus was talking, "will be done by those that believe in Me." And that challenges me because, again, often throughout life, I look at my life and I say, how is God using us? How is God using me? And where am I seeing the supernatural power of a God that holds the universe in His hands, in and through me? And I'm challenged with that because there is times when God has done supernatural things. And there is times when God has done things that are beyond human, beyond what I can actually talk about or it's not realistic within our lives. And so there is supernatural things that go on. But there's also times when it seems like God's power isn't there. And I ask, why is that? What is happening? And again, God has a plan way beyond us. God has a plan that you and I don't comprehend. And He is using even the very things that sometimes we feel can't be used. And He did that with Christ. I mean, look at His death and the crucifixion. I mean, the disciples thought He was done. In fact, they ran. They forsook Him. And God turned around and actually used that for His greatest glory. So God uses us. There's no question God uses us sometimes in those situations where we don't feel like He is or He can or we feel like things are out of control. But also, if you go to where Jesus, just before Jesus left and ascended to heaven, the last words He spoke to His disciples were the fact that you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will receive something greater than having Me beside you. And you will. It's not and you may, but you will become witnesses throughout the earth. And as I look at that, I say one of the greatest challenges for us as believers is the simple fact of becoming a witness for our Lord. You know, often we have a tendency of looking at the things we can touch, the supernatural, the power that was displayed, or the things that we can feel. Again, and we're distracted by what happened, the power that was displayed. And we forget that Jesus wants to be known. It's not about what happened so much as about who made it happen. Or the plan that God Himself is trying to accomplish. God wants to be made known. He wants to be told. Or He wants the world to be told about Him. And I look at that and I say in my own life, if I allow, if my focus becomes making Him known, becoming a witness, then He will use my life to be that very thing. And the goal is not to heal. The goal is not to remove mountains. The goal is not the supernatural. That will happen to make Him known. The goal is to make Him known. The goal is not the works. The goal is Him. Does that make sense? As I look at that, and I say, again, I have to change the way I think. I have to change the way I respond to things. When I go down the street and somebody alongside of the road needs help, and so you pull over and you help that person, that's a great act of kindness. But that's not a witness unless they know that it was Christ. So I can do all these great things in life and through life and not be a witness. I was challenged with that in Asia. Over there we live amongst a beautiful people. Very, very friendly people. Hospitable people. In fact, when I have a problem alongside of the road, I will have multiple people pulling over, giving their means to help. That is their culture. They will help. But they're not believers. They're Buddhist, largely. I mean, you might have a believer pulling over. But largely, they're there believing in something other than Christ. Who are they witnessing for? Who are we witnessing for when we pull over and help somebody? We're witnessing to the simple fact of the generosity of who we are. And that's beautiful. And that should be a part of who we are. If we aren't kind, if we aren't generous, if we don't give way to the person beside us, we also are not exercising the fruits of the Spirit. So it's important that we exercise those things. But unless we proclaim Christ, we are not a witness. We could be just as well Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim, or whatever other person. You are a beautiful, kind, loving person, but that's it. And I want to tell you, it will make a difference if you turn around and start becoming a witness. I was challenged with that. I walked out the door one day on the way to a service that I was preaching at, and on the way, there was this person that had a problem with her motorcycle, and as we went past, my wife said, "Hey, help that person, or you should pull over and help that person." I pulled over, went out, and I'm not a mechanic, and I'll make this story real quick, but I'm not a mechanic, but as I worked alongside, I bent down, tried to look if the spark plug was, and I found the spark plug, and that's about as far as I know what I know about motorcycles or motors. But anyway, as I did that, the Lord said to me, He said, "Exalt me. Pray for this." And it was a thought that went into my mind just that quick, and it was like, this is bizarre. What do you mean by that? You know, and you want to get out of it because you're afraid that if you pray and the Lord doesn't come through, you make a heel out of your Lord. I mean, really, I mean, you make a heel out of yourself is probably more what I was dealing with. But anyway, it was a quick thought, and I just simply said to her, because she was continuing to try and start this thing, kickstart it, and it just would not start. And me touching the spark plug didn't seem to make any difference. And so I asked her, I said, do you mind if I pray to my Lord? Because He has the power to start this motorcycle. And of course she said, in fact, prior to that, she had asked a bit who I was, and I told her I was a missionary, from the United States. And anyway, she said, no, go ahead. But, you know, it was a quick conversation. And I prayed. I simply asked the Lord. I said, Lord, You have the power to start this motorcycle. And so we ask You to do that in Jesus' name. And she pumped it once and off it went. It started right up and down the road she went. I don't know who she is. I don't know what was happening in her life at that time. But God, again, was exalted simply because I was a witness. God came into that situation because I was a witness. And I challenge us. You know, often it's just simply saying, God bless you in the grocery line. Or, you know, doing whatever to bring God into the situation. I didn't do anything to that motorcycle. She may have thought I did. I don't know what she thought. But in all of it, it was because of God. And she recognized that. And was able to go down the road again. What happened after that? Did she become a believer? Was she ever introduced to Christ prior to that? I have no idea. I don't know who she was. But the miraculous part of it was only capable of being there simply because I was a witness. You and I today, if we are a witness, we will see God at work. There's no question. If we try and be a good person, we will also accomplish great things at times, but God won't be exalted. And God's miraculous ways will not be introduced to those around us. So I challenge us to consider the fact of how much of a witness are we in society around us. Doesn't mean that we are obnoxious. It doesn't mean that we have to be some bizarre group of people that everybody looks at cross-eyed and crooked. No. God expects us to live a loving, a kind, a peaceful lifestyle. At the same time, He has asked us, that was His last words, go and be a witness. Go and make my name known. The challenge I also struggle with, and I would assume with this many people that there's multiple that we would struggle with the fact of not wanting to make God unfamous or not wanting to shame God as we proclaim Him. And should we be concerned with that? I would say in that it's important that we walk with the Spirit. The Spirit will guide us as we go through life. But the bigger challenge to me is the fact of not being ashamed of Him. When God said, you know, pray for this thing, I'll start this thing, pray for this bike. The first thought that I've struggled with was, again, I don't want to make a heel of myself. God was capable. And God continues to be capable of protecting Himself and of making His name known. If we are willing to put Him on the line, if we are willing to expose ourselves, God will make His name great. There's no question there. It's the bigger challenge is, are you willing? Are we willing to put His name out there? The simple fact of being a fanatic and saying, God bless you in the grocery line. Is that where we're at? Is that what we're willing to do? If you are, you will see God at work. There is no question to that. And we'll attest to that a bit more as we go along today. One of the things that I can attest to, we've been in Thailand for 3.5 years now, but a year and a half before that, we had gone to visit just to see what God was saying and all of that. And God led us into a ministry with college students. And we are blessed with the way God is at work in Thailand. We see multiple people coming to Christ today and seeking after Christ monthly. We're involved in a church there. It was about a year old, a little over a year old, when we first moved to Meizhou, which is the outskirts of Chiang Mai. And there was about 40 to 50 people attending the church. Today, there's 100 to 120 that are attending, besides the multiple people that came and now are back in their villages. God is at work. We have baptized, and I haven't kept track how many, but I would 40, 50 people we have baptized since in the 3.5 years that we were there. God is at work because His Spirit is working throughout. God is at work in and through us because He lives within us, and we allow His power to work out through us and amongst us. But in that, after we came back that year and a half, we prayed about the fact of God, show us how. We knew we were called to Thailand, and believe me, for those of you, for those of you that are families, I want to say God wants to use every person within your family, from your infant all the way up to your young adult, if whatever age group you as families have. But just because you have multiple children does not mean that it is not God's will to go on the mission field. We have 7 children, and God called us there, and we struggled with the fact of, you know, nine people on the mission field and the cost that goes with that. But God used us and continues to use every one of our children. And I'm not going to go into how and all of that. But after we came back, we knew that God called us there. And we asked God, we prayed for a year and a half for God to bring around us a native individual to walk and help us in the ministry that He was calling us to. We were quite intentional about the fact that we wanted to walk beside the native people rather than go with our agenda or our program and transplant our American culture into their culture. And so we needed somebody to come around us. And we prayed and God blessed us. And James, if you want to come up here. James was this young man that God blessed us with. When we first moved there, again, we knew the college students was what God was calling us to. We didn't know what area. We didn't know exactly how. We had a bit of an idea that a coffee shop might be something that God is saying would be a good way to bring us in contact with college students. But when we got there, it wasn't more than a few weeks after we got there, we met James. And James showed us
actually
found us our house, showed us how to get involved with students and college students. He taught us the language. He then translated for me as I taught and spoke. And what I thought would take 2 to 3 years to accomplish was happening in about 6 to 8 months, simply because God surrounded us with a local individual that was also on fire for the Lord. And God blessed James and his life. God blessed us and our lives. And together we proclaimed and became a witness for him. So I'm going to give the time over to him. He's involved now with college students. And he's a pastor, has started another church this past January, and is heavily involved in teaching students about God. So I'll turn over the time to him. God bless.
Good morning, church. And thank you, Pastor Lloyd, for introducing me again. And if you, God bless me and my family to be here this morning and speak to these native people here. I'm from Thailand, and like what the Pastor Lloyd said, I'm James, and my wife is Esther. And my English is not the first language, or maybe it's not the second. I'll be the third language that is speaking, and I will try to speak slowly, and maybe you will catch what I'm saying. Okay, and yeah, thank you, pastors and like elders and church members that allow us to speak this morning again. And I want to say this: God bless us, and God bless everyone who calls by His name and through Jesus Christ. And we are brothers, sisters, even I'm Asian and you are American. And we are in family in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we are one family. And we now realize that we have so many people who is a big different from you, living across maybe opposite of your world. And there's a lot of people who still need the gospel. And I'm very blessed to know GTO, because GTO come alongside with local church and work together. You know, some people, they like missionary, they come over to Thailand and they try to work by themselves, and they try to start a church, and some people success and some people not, and they have to come back to America because they can't start a church or start a ministry. But as we walk with local people, and I believe that God called us to work together. You know, it's not an American church, not an Asian church, but Jesus Christ church. That I love to see people who has a different gift and gather and work together. And I believe that God called each of us to fulfill His ministry in this world. Because it's like what Pastor Lloyd said, that God gave us Holy Spirit to do His ministry. He's not give us the Holy Spirit to do whatever we want, but He gave us the Holy Spirit that we will do the same thing that He has done in this world. And on John chapter 14, verse 12, said this: as you believe in me, you will do the thing that I have done, and I will give my spirit to you. And you know that is the same God you worship today, this morning, that is the same God that Asian people worship as well. And I'm thankful for that, for GTO come alongside the people, not only Thai people, that blessed through your ministry, through your heart, and through your vision. But Southeast Asia, and I believe that so many around the world, you are blessing them, and you lead people to know God. That is our job and our ministry that God called us to do. But this morning, I would like to thank that those who participate with my ministry. This is what we call Hope for Tribes that I'm working with Ken and Ange Bokoda right now. We just started last January. We are finished the building. And last year, Ken and Ange Bokoda came back and spoke in your church, I believe that, and raised money for the building. And we would like to thank for those people who participated in giving us and for the project, for the building project. And we finished that building. And we are all now, we have students who are living with us, seven boys, seven students. And there's a boy and three girls with Ken and Anne's Bokoda family. And we have 10 total. We have 10 students under my ministry right now. And what is our vision, what's our heart for these students? These students are a ministry we call Hope for Tribes. Why we call Hope? Because the tribes people, they are hopeless to reach out their goal. They want to have a better life, better job, but they can't reach their goal because they are poor. They're from the tribes people. In Thailand, some people know the information, but some people might not know. That's we are so many people, we are different. And we have very rich people, and we are really have a very low people, and very poor people. And the tribes people are in the group of very poor. And you know, they want to have a better life, a better job, but because we have no education. Thailand is everything seems like based on education. Education is the tools, the way that you can be success. If the more you have a high education, you will have a better chance to success in your life. It's not only like in your daily life that you can be success, but the more you have a high education, is the more you have a better place to share the gospel to those who allow them. You know, in America, I know a little bit about America, but they say it's not much based on education. People will listen to you, people to believe you. If you have a good life, if you love God, you can be a pastor. You can do ministry. But in Thailand, you know, even you have a good life, it doesn't matter how good you are, but if you don't have education, you can preach the gospel to have the poor people who has high education. This is the whole idea that brought me and talked to Ken that how we can help people to reach out to unreached people. And for me, God called me. The thing about my people is when you're thinking about ministry, you will think about to reach out unreached people. But God told me, is it Thailand, we have more than 70 million people, the population. But it's not only 1% of Christianity in Thailand. Why? You know, because we not protect that the people already believe in Jesus Christ. Sometimes a church is not growing because it's new coming, but someone, they're losing their faith and they will walk away. And the church is not balanced, you know, newcomers, so we can't keep the old people who attended our church. Or the same way that we thinking about to reach out non-believers, but we don't think about the people who already believe, but they're losing their faith. And you know, a lot of tribes people, they are living in the mountains, and they will, after maybe this 8th grade or 9th grade, and they finish not even high school, they will come and find a job in the city. They come down and they left the family, and they came depressed that they're not like, you know, used to it. And if they enjoy their life in the city, they don't think about the follow Christ anymore. They're losing their faith. And you know, the way that we can help the gospel, the reach out to unreached people, we have to keep our people too. If God said, who will protect my sheep? Who will protect my people? And in the Bible says, who are you? If no one protect my people, if no one protect my sheep, I will do it, that God said. And God called me and God said to me, protect your people. Protect the people who already believe in me. And you know, the tribes people, they are not like Buddhists. They are not like, you know, they are worship spirit. They are like animism. They mix everything. They worship everything. They are like have a power. And they are living under fear. You know, the tribes people, they worship everything. You know, with our people who investing their time, their life to preach the gospel, like for my family, today remind me about my dad, because my dad passed away when I was 6 years old, and after he led my family became a Christian. After that, not long he passed away. And but I'm glad and very thankful for my dad who, because in tribes culture, if your dad is not, if dad is the one who hold power in the family, you know, they will follow everything that the man is leading the family. And if the man decide not to, the family cannot do anything. But I'm glad that my dad decided to follow Christ and the whole family that can follow Christ too. You know, it's tribes people very difficult life because they are living under fear, and because the missionary they came and they preached the gospel in Thailand, and they came to the very very difficult place in the mountain. And you know, in the, during the time, my mom told me about her story, that I asked why you became a Christian, and my mom said that because we are living under fear, and the missionary came and said, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be free from fear. And you know, when people heard that, they are not, they are happy. Not only my family became a Christian, the whole village, they came and run to Jesus Christ because they don't want to live under fear. And but without people who came and invest their life, the family, preach the gospel, we can't become a Christian because we don't hear the gospel. But because we heard the gospel, that's our chance, our opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you today. Our ministry, the Hope of Tribes, we focus on helping the poor people that they can reach out their goals. Even we give them the opportunity, they go to school, the college, and they can finish the college. And in the time they are with us, we will teach them the Bible. And this is the tools. We're not only giving the physical needs, but we're giving them the spiritual need. Physical needs, well, we are helping them, support them, they can finish the college, and they can get degree. Why we invest this? Because the degree, when we give a degree, when we can finish the college, that is the, we can raise them up in the better place to share the gospel. I believe that God prepared Paul, Apostle Paul, by his purpose, because he wants Apostle Paul to raise out the king and to raise people, as you know, Gentiles and Jews. I believe that God wants us to prepare his people to reach the people and reach people through giving education, that there is a tool that people, tribes people, they can stand up in the better place and they can share the gospel. You know, there's what we are doing is we are teaching Bible, we are mentoring them, you know, we try to help them to grow in the Jesus Christ, in the spiritual life. That is what we are doing, and we want to help them to success, and they can live after they graduate for 4 years with us. They can live, they can have a better life, they can have a better spot, better place to share the gospel, allow them. You know, ministry is a God idea. It's not our idea, even if we feel like we don't want to do it. But when God calls us to do, sometimes we ask, God, I don't want to do. Or maybe we will think that how easy or how difficult to do the thing that God called us to do. I want to say this. When God calls us to do something for His kingdom, it is not necessary or it's not matter how easy. But when God calls you, He calls by His purpose and to finish His works in this world. Don't ask how easy. Don't ask how is it. The same as like God asked and told Moses to go back to Egypt and said, back and release my people. And Moses said, no, I don't want to. And he just has a many excuses that he doesn't want to go to Egypt. But when God called, you will be influenced to people. Your obedience, very important. Sometimes I feel like I don't want to do. It's difficult for me to do ministry. I can't raise my money. I can talk to people. I have a heart to do that, but you know, this is very difficult because for my own, I can't. I can do, I can raise for support. I can pay for their school. And I feel like I want to keep up everything and just do work, it's an easy life, spend time with my wife. But you know, God said no. God said no. When we obey, God will provide. When we submit to Him, God is the one that helps us to success. And I believe that God called each of us today to participate in His plans in this world. Thank you for letting us share this morning. And I'm glad that we can be here and share our vision and what we are doing in Thailand. And thank you for GTO that it get involved, you know, surround us and help us with our ministry. Thanks. Thank you. And in the end, we have a video that would like to thank people who participated last year for our project too.
Hello, my name is AJ. I am 21 years old. I would like to say thank you to all the sponsors and people who have been praying for us during as we study.
My name is Mila Mayer. I am 22 years old. I am a Khmer tribe. I study business English at Chiang Mai Ratchaphat University.
ผมชื่อประสิทธิ์ศรีลงนะครับตอนนี้ผมเรียนอยู่การท่องเที่ยวและการโรงแรมนะครับที่มหาวิทยาลัยราชภัฏเชียงใหม่ผมขอบคุณท่านและสปอนเซอร์นะครับที่ได้ช่วยเหลือพวกผมนะครับ
In my daily life I study and serve God. Every Monday we have Bible study. Every Saturday we have kinny shirt and passage song to sing on Sunday.
พวกเรามีความสุขนะครับที่ได้ทำงานร่วมกันนะครับแล้วก็ได้ฝึกในการที่จะเล่นดนตรีผมได้เล่นกีตาร์นะครับแล้วก็บางครั้งผมก็ได้ร้องได้ช่วยร้องเพลงนะครับเป็นสิ่งที่ทำให้ผมนั้นได้ฝึกชีวิตในด้านการรับใช้พระเจ้านะครับเป็นสิ่งที่ดีมากครับผม
I like to study and read a book and every morning andOr every evening before I do something, I will read a Bible first.
We also have leadership training to learn about how to make disciples.
We have kitchen. We can learn how to cook andOne time, I cooked brownie and go share my friend at school.
ตอนนี้พวกผมก็มีบ้านพักผู้ชายนะครับขอบคุณท่านที่ได้ส่งเงินมาช่วยเหลือในการสร้างบ้านพักผู้ชายนะครับตอนนี้ผมอยู่ที่บ้านพักผู้ชายก็มีความสุขมากนะครับ
I am thankful to have a good place to study. To study and stay with Christian family. This past year, with the help of our friends and churches in America, we were able to build a dorm and church building.
ผมก็ขอบคุณทุกท่านนะครับที่ได้ทรงช่วยเหลือพวกผมนะครับก็ขอให้พระเจ้าได้ทรงไปพระพรทุกท่านเหมือนที่ท่านได้ทรงช่วยเหลือพวกเรานะครับขอบคุณครับ
If it would not be for your support, I would not be here. With your help, we students can have a better life. Thank you and God bless you. ขอบคุณครับ
I would like to thank you again, and may God bless you, your family, and your ministry. Please pray for us, and we will pray for you as well. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I was sitting down there, and I couldn't help but think of the story of Abraham.Which I'm sure you all are familiar with. But what really stood out to me when I was thinking about the story is God called Abraham to gather up his family and all his belongings and to go somewhere. But he didn't even tell him where to go. And Abraham listened. You know, the Bible doesn't record him questioning God and being like, why are you doing this? You know, I assume Abraham was happy in the land that he was living in. But no, he just followed GodAnd just went where God told him to, and God blessed him tremendously for it. When I moved to Thailand, I was 15 years old, and my mom asked me if I wanted to teach in a little public school. And my first reaction was like, no. I didn't think I'd make a good teacher. I was scared to teach. I was worried the kids wouldn't like me. Grammar was my least favorite subject in school. I don't really like English. It's complicated, and even more complicated when you try to teach it.And so I didn't think I would want to do it, but my parents encouraged me to pray about it, and so I did, and I felt like God told me to go, even though I was praying that he'd just give me a sign that I shouldn't go, but he told me to go, and I went, and after the first day, I just fell in love with the kids, and I really enjoyed teaching. I still don't really like English, but I do like teaching. I like to invest in the kids' lives, I am in college now, majoring in history, and I would like to use it to teach history, not English. But I know that, like, I learned so much through teaching. God showed me so much, and I know that I wouldn't have been blessed in that way if I wouldn't have stepped out and been willing to step out of my fear and just be like, God, use me. I know another time when I was sitting in a church similar to this, andMy heart was pounding, my hands were getting sweaty, because Dad had asked me to speak. This was about a year and a half ago, and I didn't think, like, public speaking would be very fun. I was like, huh, to get in front of everyone. But I got up there, and I got to speak, and I love public speaking now. I'm doing it today. And, you know, I just, learning how to teach and learning to public speak, I wouldn't have even known that I enjoy doing those things. I wouldn't have been blessed through that if I wouldn't have stepped out of my fear and been willing to go and do things that God was calling me to do. And that's my challenge for you today. Don't let fear stop you. I know that God can use you in so many ways if you just are willing to step out. You know, it's like you're standing on a board, and as long as life is going good, you can stand straight on the board. But the moment you have to step out in faith and the board gets tipped a little bit, instead of falling, you can lean on God andI just feel like it's such a tremendous blessing for me and for God. It's just a huge testimony of what God can do if he can use you in those moments when you're scared. And so that's my challenge for you.
Okay, my name is Caitlin, and I also taught at the same school Sarah did. And I was 14 years old when Sarah was...asked to teach, and she asked me if I would come along and help her a little bit, just for a few days. And I was terrified, but I said I would do it just for a few days. I was not committing to teaching full-time at all. But the first day I went there, I don't know, God totally changed my heart on it. We taught 3 to 6-year-olds English, and it's a challenge and a blessing to teach them. But yeah, ever since then, I continue teaching there, and yeah, I've enjoyed it a lot. It was extremely scary doing it because I was only 14 at the time, but God did amazing things, and yeah, I was able to continue teaching. Since then, I started tutoring a college student, which again was, I was like asking God, please do not make me do this. But I'm 17 years old, and he told me that I had to step out in faith and not to let fear hold me back, which is so, it's so easy to do. Like, it's really easy to do, just to, even if you don't acknowledge that you're afraid of it, but not to do something because, even when God wants to do it, not to do it because you have so many other things you're doing, and yeah. But yeah, it's just been a really big challenge to face up to my fears, and even though when stuff is scary, I mean, when you do something that you didn't want to do, and that's when you can really grow. If I would always stay in my comfort zone, I wouldn't be able to grow. So, yeah, that's what God has been doing in my life lately.
So my name's Tyler, and we are winding down here. I know we keep getting up, and it's like time to close. But we've spent the last, you know, several years in Thailand, and they don't really keep time there, so we figure it's okay. Yeah, I'm actually really excited to be at this church because I know you guys are a sending church. It's so encouraging to look back on your back wall there, and like you have your, I don't know, prayer cards and all that stuff there. And just seeing how many people you guys have sent out, it's like, it's so good. Like, keep that up. And I also want to encourage you in that, like, when people, I mean, I know you guys are kind of living this, and so, I don't know, but when people, you know, express a dream or you know, I want to go here or go do this, or it doesn't even have to be overseas, but when someone has a vision for something, that you would just surround them as a church, and be a people of prayer, where you just come around them and pray, and even, you know, as they go, just committing to praying for them. There's so much power in that. Before I left, I was there for like a year and a half, and then back in the States for a year. And before I went back again, there was like five of my close friends came around me and were just like, hey, we're gonna pray for you. We're gonna send you emails. Send us updates. Let us know what what's happening. And then they didn't just say it, right? They lived it. They did that. They would send, you know, encouragements, and it's, there's so much power in that. And even, you know, if you go on a short-term mission trip, I was so convicted like a month ago. I was after a service, there was a Chinese couple that had come back on furlough, and so we went and prayed for them. We were just praying over them. And afterwards they shared, they were like, we've been on the mission field, I think it was like 15 years. It was a long time. And only we can count on one hand how many times, someone has prayed for us. Like just laying on our hands and praying for them. And so I was so convicted. I was like, you know, when I go to these places, am I living that? Am I a person who when I come, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to just encourage. So I just, yeah, encourage you guys in that. When someone has something that you just send them out, that we would be a people of prayer. And not only in, you know, sending people out, but in your secret place, that your foundation for everything you do would be spent, you know, your foundation would be prayer. Your foundation would be your relationship with Christ. Because it's from that place. My dad talked about being a witness. It's from the place of prayer, of knowing Christ, of spending time in His Word, of getting to know Him, that we can go out and be witnesses. If we don't have that foundation, then when we go out, we'll just carry religion and whatever. We can't really be a true witness without knowing Him first. And so, like, and it's super practical. Like, it's not, Yeah, it's just knowing, spending time with him is just like so practical, and we can just like so recently in Lancaster, just since coming back, I've been back for like a month now and got involved in a prayer meeting that they in January they started a prayer meeting. Just three people started coming together and praying together, and it's exploded to over 50 people now. Not 50 people a night, but like that are involved in it. And it's just like, it's so encouraging to come together as a people and praying. And then, you know, as we do that, like so many people have already been sent out into the field, and you can go when you know that there's such a body of people backing you in prayer. Then when you go, it's like, it's so different. It's not. Yeah, it's just God moves in supernatural ways, and you can, see him working among you. And then also, like, man, my heart is also for unreached people groups. That we would be either going or praying for those people. There's so many in Thailand. There's so many all across Southeast Asia. And so, like, I would just encourage people to find an unreached people group and pray for that people. And maybe God will call you there someday. But if he doesn't, that you would remain in that place of prayer and just seeing like that the Great Commission would be on our hearts. That it's not something that's just that we've heard about all our lives and we're just like, yeah, we want to see it happen, but that like we would be actively like seeing it happen. And then, you know, as we live life here, that we would just, you know, we'd live that life. We'd be witnesses. It's not okay just like, yeah, God called me here, and so we're just sitting, we come to church on Sunday, and then the rest of our week, we just try to be, you know, good people, and we just, I don't know, just coast through life. If we're just coasting through life, like, you're not where God wants you to be. Like, if God calls you here, like, he has great purpose in you being here. It's not just to go to work and work 50 hours a week. It's about, you know, as you work 50 hours a week, that's your mission field. You're pouring your life out wherever you're at, and you're seeing, seeing God move. God will move. Dad was talking about, you know, God will move when you put yourself out there and when you're faithful in being a witness. Over in Thailand, it's not that different from here. We're just as opportunities arise, you just take them. I play a lot of basketball, and people sprain ankles when you're playing basketball, and so you get to pray for them. You get to share the gospel with them. Worked at a coffee shop this last year for a while. There's opportunities as I teach English or whatever to share the gospel. And it's the same thing here. It's not lack of opportunity in America. It's just lack of we just need to have willing hearts to walk in obedience to, you know, wherever God has us. So yeah, we're going to sing a song yet in Thai. And then I guess that'll close it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're going to sing a song to give you a little bit of an idea of the language. And we have one mic, so if we can sort of circle the podium here.
Rajabrajan, Kayesha Prabhu.
Okay, in closing a bit, again, God is a great God. He holds the universe in His hands. Don't forget that. Don't forget the power that you have within. You know, Tyler was talking a bit about the difference of Asia and here and how that it's not that different. People ask us, what do? We live life. The biggest difference is the fact that less than 1% are Christian. And what that means, and it's about 0.5 something that's evangelical Christian in Thailand. That means there is 5 to 6 people that are Christian for every 1,000 people that live in Thailand. Thailand is the least reached of all of Asia. In southern Thailand, it is 0.035%. That means for every 1,000 people, there is about 1/3 of a Christian that exists. That is where we live. When we talk about our Lord, they don't know. They don't understand. The beauty of being there is the fact that we shine brightly. Our daughters and our children are heavily involved in bringing believers to Christ at a young age. And it's beautiful. They walk beside them. They answer questions about what does hallelujah mean? Or teach me how to pray. Or what do you mean when you say amen when you finish praying? That is the questions that our children are answering. And it's beautiful. We love it. Our Lord is great. Our Lord is powerful. And if we are a witness for Him, there is no question in my mind that you will see God at work. You will see miraculous things happening. And you will be used in a way that you have never experienced before or never anticipated that you would be used. So God bless. Continue to pray for us. There is so many opportunities. We have 10 different brochures out there. We're involved in about 13 different areas GTO is throughout Thailand. There is business to get involved in. There is teaching to be involved in. There is church ministry to be involved in. Out of the 10 brochures that we have back there, I don't think there's one of those ministries happening that aren't asking for more help. We really need people. Thailand is a beautiful country. And it has primitive areas and it has more advanced areas. But it really doesn't matter. Where God is calling you, be used. Be a witness for Him. If God is calling you to Asia, we would love to talk more. And we'll be in the back. If God is calling young people, if God is calling families, it really doesn't matter. We can use you. God wants to be made known. And the Asian people have the right to know Him. So God bless. I'll turn it over to whoever.